about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but as we start off, I invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. Again, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, all of Psalm 27. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the power that rests in your word. Thank you for the light, the grace, the life, the encouragement, the strength that comes from your word and that flows into our lives as we take time to read, to meditate, to think on your word and put it to work in our lives. Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge of the very central place and foundational place your word needs to play in all of our lives. Help us to be wise enough to make it a habit to read your word daily. Help us to be wise enough as parents to help and train our children to do the same, our grandchildren, and other persons that we come in contact with. Help us to know, Lord, that we're called to share your word, to live it, to read it, and to share it. Help us to do that each and every day. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Once again, I want to remind you that we do have our fall share-a-thon coming up, next week, actually, Tuesday through Thursday of next week. And we're still looking for listener testimonies. If you haven't called in and shared one, please do give us a call at this number, 1-877-327-5647, and share a testimony of how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to strengthen you, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And as you call and share that testimony, it'll bless others, and also you probably will hear it during our share-a-thon. Once again, that number is 1-877-327-5647. We're grateful to have all of our listeners that are listening in or tuned in, whether it be by way of radio or through online streaming or through the Cherubim. But we appreciate you tuning in and hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged. And let me remind every single listener, too, we do have two very important upcoming events, two events that we call the Festival for Life, which is an event whereby we encourage the church to do two things, to faithfully come alongside to help with the great work of pregnancy clinics and also to become aggressively involved with Standing for Life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. And we do have one scheduled at Rollins United Methodist Church in Tutwiler, Mississippi, coming up on the 23rd, Sunday the 23rd of October. And that's at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then at the Pursuit Church in Memphis, Tennessee, on Tuesday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. If you can come and be with us at either one of these events, the event will be a tremendous event that will bless you, that will encourage you. We use music videos, movie trailers, movie clips to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to aggressively stand for life. So if you can come out and be with us at either one of these events, we would look forward to seeing you. Once again, Rollins United Methodist Church on Sunday, the 23rd at 3:30 p.m. at 500 2nd Street in Tutwiler, Mississippi, and then at the Pursuit Church in Memphis, Tennessee on Tuesday, October 25th, 6:30 p.m. That address is 751 North Treesvant in Memphis, Tennessee. Hope to see you at one or the other of these events. We're grateful to have in studio with us Tanya and Artrell Brooks. And Tanya is our guest that she'll be sharing her testimony today. And we're so grateful that they were willing to come. And so, Tanya, I'm going to let you kind of further introduce yourself to our listeners, though. But great to have you all with us today.
Thank you. Well, as Pastor Parker said, I'm Tanya Brooks. I'm from Tupelo, Mississippi. And I was invited on this show today because I am pro-life. I believe that every child has a voice, whether it's in the womb or outside of the womb. I truly believe in pro-life. And today I'm just here to share my story with you. I am a child who was conceived in a rape. And I hear a lot of stories when they say, well, if a child is conceived in rape, they don't have a good quality of life, or there's so much that child has to endure, not knowing the father, not knowing the mother, not loving that child. And I can say through the grace of God that is absolutely not true. I am loved by my mother. I am a woman of God, a God-fearing woman. I have two wonderful children and an amazing husband who's God-fearing as well. So I just want to shed some light on who we are, because most of the time you won't get to hear from a child's perspective. And I can only tell you from my perspective. And my mother, she loved me unconditionally. And I think when people say that it's not that they don't have a fair chance, God gave me the same chance that he gave you. Regardless of how I came to be, I was born with choice. I was born with purpose. And I want people to understand that.
Well, you know, Tanya, I really appreciate you coming on the broadcast to share your testimony. You have a very unique testimony, but a very powerful one, because it speaks to so many different issues that we face in our culture today. You know, it's very common to hear sometimes politicians or even other people to say they're against abortion, except in the case of rape, which is tragic, because it's important to know that anytime a baby's conceived, no matter what the circumstances, mm-hmm. that life is from the hand of God.
It is.
And the fact is, outside of God being involved, two folks can come together sexually a thousand times. They're not going to conceive a child outside of God's hand being involved, because God is the one that creates life. Yet it's important to know that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there, because I recall even a well-known quote-unquote spiritual leader in our nation to once refer to a child conceived in rape as being a demon seed, which is so sad, such a sad thing for a wicked thing for a person to say.
Because in the Bible, when in God's word, where does Satan have the right to create life? I've never seen it.
He cannot create life.
And that's something I can't understand. Mm-hmm. But as far as like, I hear that a lot also, as far as like, in this circumstance, I think that abortion should be done if a child is raped. That child has been violated. But what I try to get parents to understand is, okay, if you have a child and your child is raped and conception takes place and you are so adamant about taking that child to get an abortion, her body has already been violated once.
That's
so
right.
Now you are about to violate her womb.
That's right.
And they don't understand, like, when it comes to conception is something more than just a man and a woman, husband and wife, coming together to create. Because without God, life would not be.
That's right.
There has to be authority for that life to even begin in the womb. Mm-hmm. So why can't they see that? So you're about to take her to the abortion clinic, and you're about to let a total stranger violate her body again, mm-hmm. ravish her womb. Mm-hmm. Violate her womb, assault her womb, and you think that's okay. Mm-hmm. And now you're about to commit genocide. And people say, well, that's not genocide. Yes, it is. It's a particular group, and that group is the unborn child.
That's right.
And every day you're committing genocide, and mm-hmm. you can't see that. But let a mother who has a 2-year-old child decide she wants to be a mother no more. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's still her choice. It's her body. It's her choice. That child is still there, whether it's in the womb. It's life. So now you're saying that it's a woman's choice. What if she don't want to be a mother anymore when her child turns 2? And if she kills her child, there's outrage in the streets. She should go to jail. She should be in prison. But what about the ones that are killing their babies inside the womb?
In the womb. And in God's eyes, it's the same thing. It's the very same thing. Yet society tries to say that the 2-year-old is a human being with all the rights and privileges of everybody else. But the child in the womb, many want to say they have no constitutional rights, no rights whatsoever. And it's all entirely up to the mom, which, again, is a tragic conclusion. But that's the way lots of people see it.
So they're saying that the child in the womb has no rights, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have said that the child within the room, in the womb, that is just cells. It has no life. It's unviable at that stage in life. Mm-hmm. But I can remember being 2 months pregnant, even close to 3 months pregnant, feeling my children within my womb. When they were ready to eat, when something was wrong, I knew something was wrong, or discomfort. And if they can feel what I feel, tell me how is that life is not viable. Tell me how. And I think, and I want people to understand what abortion is. I don't call it abortion. I call it murder, because you are removing something forcefully from the womb. And I want parents and just women in general, anyone who's thinking about this, to understand what abortion is. It's more than just going in, removing the baby. The babies are removed violently. When you expel something from something, you're forcefully removing it from something. And I want them to see that if those babies could feel within our womb and they taste what we taste, they hear what we hear, they feel what we feel, why don't they feel what's going on in the womb when they're being ripped from limb and removed forcefully from the womb? Why can't people see that? And I want people to understand this too. If my mother had aborted me, would I be here today? Would I be listening? Would I be talking, trying to reach out to someone who's in a situation my mother was in 35 years ago? And I want them to know that there's no choice when it comes to life. There's no choice. To me, people think that because it's lawful, man made it lawful, you can't go against the word of God. He said that thou shalt not kill. He didn't send Jesus for a few. He didn't send Jesus for many. He sent Jesus for all.
Praise God. Praise God.
And I want them to understand that. And Pastor Parker, something else I discussed with my husband, and many times I have this question. What if Jesus would have aborted us?
That's right.
When he went to the cross, he didn't say, the ones who he came to serve, they beat him, they tortured him, they betrayed him. But he still went to the cross, and he died not for few. Not for many, but for all of us.
For the whole world.
Now, what if he said they're not worth it? And he aborted us. Will we be here today?
We'd be in big, big, big trouble.
That's what I want people to see. That you have to look at it from a spiritual aspect, not just from an earthly aspect. Because man can tell you so many times that it's right, but by the laws of God, it's wrong.
That's right. We're going to jump in here. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, our in-studio guest, Tanya Brooks. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Boycotts. They're effective, communicating to our society that something has gone terribly wrong. Here's Ed Vitagliano, Executive Vice President of the American Family Association.
Before Target changed its policy, it had men's rooms for men, women's rooms for women. And you ask the question, why? Why did Target have a policy of gender-specific bathrooms before it changed? Well, it's because everybody in every civilized country of the world understands that men and women, generally speaking, are uncomfortable with a stranger of the opposite sex when they're in the bathroom or they're changing their clothes. That's why these rooms were separate to begin with. So what's changed? People still feel the same way. That's why this policy is misguided.
Sign the Boycott Target Pledge. It's over a million strong. It's at afa.net.
Of Lisa McClendon, the song Right There. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Tanya Brooks and her husband Artrell. And Tanya is sharing her testimony, and a powerful testimony. And Tanya, I tell you what, we're going to try to address the one of the questions that came up in the chat room there. specifically when you share your testimony. The question was, when you share your testimony with people who say that they're for abortion, how do they respond?
It's funny because probably about last month, in speaking with some coworkers and friends, I have a lot of friends who think that they're pro-choice, and I always question them, what makes you pro-choice? And the answer is always, well, I think the woman has the right, you know, what, and it always comes back to the rape situation. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, what if someone who's not 12, and it's sad to say, but you have some 12-year-olds who are sexually active.
That's right.
And what if that 12-year-old was not raped? And mm-hmm. what if she's a consenting 12-year-old with a 13-year-old mm-hmm. and she becomes pregnant? Then what do you do? Mm. Rape is out of the equation now.
Right.
So what's the answer?
Mm. How do they respond?
Well, I still think she's too young to have a baby. And I said, but there we go with our way of thinking. What happened to God's way of thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that? I said, but it will always be something. First, it had to be rape. But if she's consenting to a 12 and 13-year-old having sex, and this child now becomes pregnant, do the parents still have the right to go force her to have an abortion?
Mm.
And many times, many people don't have an answer. They're in awe like, well, I never thought of it that way.
Right. And, you know, Tanya, I think of this, too. You know, it's very important for us to ask the question, too. You know, in the case where people seem to feel like that, well, in the case of rape, that they too often they think, well, the woman should definitely abort. Well, why punish the baby for the crime of the father?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important question. Why should we punish the baby? In other words, and sometimes the father gets off scot-free,
mm-hmm.
but for the baby to be punished, the baby hasn't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yet sadly, many people think that, well, that's an ideal case in which it's okay to have an abortion. Of course, there never is, because you're talking about deliberately taking the life of a human being made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it sadly, whether people understand or not, it comes down, it's really a form of murder. Now, God will forgive,
mm-hmm.
but there's great, sad consequences in the life of someone who deliberately takes the life of another human being, whatever the age, whether it's a baby in the womb or a grown human being as well.
A grown human being, that's right. Mm-hmm. But my question is to those who feel that way, even after the abortion, what has changed besides now there's not a fetus?
Mm-hmm.
The rape still took place. The pregnancy was still there. We can't see what that person has endured or what that person is going through, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change the fact that her body was violated and that there was life growing in the womb.
That's right.
So what has changed besides the fact that you have murdered an innocent child?
That's right.
What has changed?
And, you know, Tanya, you're making some powerful, powerful points, and I think of this too. And you touched on this a few minutes ago. She's already been violated once when someone raped her. But then when people encourage her and kind of coerce her to go ahead and have an abortion, it's like a second rape.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, mm-hmm. the second one is worse than the first, because you're not talking about
mm-hmm.
simply violating a human being. You're talking about killing a human being, taking another human being's life.
Yes. And that's what I tried to talk to the parents who are so adamant about abortion if this happens. And I said, but one person has violated her already, but you are mm-hmm. her protector. You are who God bless you with this child.
Mm-hmm.
So you kept your child,
mm-hmm.
but you were about to take your child to the abortion clinic and abort your grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
What That's sense right. does that make?
Mm-hmm.
And not only abort, but I want you to call that thing what it is, murder.
That's right.
And now you are about to put her, and I want people to understand this is so vivid.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to put a 13-year-old child on a steel table,
mm-hmm.
and you're about to spread her legs,
mm-hmm.
and there will be instrument that will be placed inside of this 13-year-old child
mm-hmm.
in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
God gave us, he has blessed us
mm-hmm.
and instilled us with that blessing that we may be the bearers of life. That we may carry life. And it's deeper than just something growing in the womb. But who else can bring life besides women? And if God does not give the authority for that life to grow, it will not grow. It will not start. It will not start. And I'm sorry, but now you are taking your child again to be violated, the womb.
And, you know, Tanya, on top of that, too, and again, you touched on this, there are a number of different forms of abortion. But one of them, of course, is a number of them, they rip the baby from limb to limb.
Mm-hmm.
And just all of them are cruel. A number of them obviously bring great pain, both, well, actually to the baby, obviously, but to the mother as well.
As well.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's extreme violence involved in abortion.
And may I say something, Pastor Parker? Mm-hmm. I look at Psalms 139, and I wrote this down 13 and 7. So for those who want to listen, I mean, to want to go back and read this, I suggest that you do. If you're thinking, if you're pro-choice, so I say, is Psalms 139, 13 through 17. Mm-hmm. And I talk about, and when I read this, it gave so much life to me. It gave me a different understanding of conception, what conception really is. Mm-hmm. And it started off when he said that God knew us before there was anything here.
That's right.
And when he talks about substance, and most people will disagree with me, but when he talked about the inward being of who we are, when we're being formed, he's talking about the spirit in the mind. See, it's not just a clump of cells. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of life.
That's
God's reaching within the womb and starting life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not a clump of cells. That's spirit, that's mind. And then not only that, but substance. The substance of who we are is what makes us important,
praise
meaningful.
Mm.
So you can't tell me that substance is just something that's there.
Mm.
It starts off as a spark, and that spark is, to me, the breath of life, God giving permission for us to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand for the life of me why, when God entrusted us with this, we're throwing it away.
And Tanya, you know, again, you continue to make excellent points for people to really ponder. And I think of this, you know, like, from the standpoint of a pastor over the years, this is one of the toughest issues to address when a family tragically chooses abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like tossing a grenade in that family, because there's lots of collateral damage when you have a situation where maybe a dad and mom decided their 14-year-old that got pregnant need to get an abortion. Often they will decide to set up an appointment without the child's permission. In fact, they don't consult the child. They just decide for them. And if they go through with it, what is so sad is it's pretty predictable what happens. The parents will think, well, she'll get over in a few weeks or a few months. Mm. 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, the relationship may be still very damaged, because the girl will think, Daddy and Mama made me kill my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, the parents will realize, I killed my grandchild.
Yes.
I paid for the taking in life of my own grandchild. And so, and at some point, the brothers and sisters will realize, I don't have a brother or sister here because Dad and Mama decided to get rid of it. And so lots of collateral damage that that lasts sometimes for a lifetime for some people.
And a lot of young women who I spoke with, and just personally in my own family, an aunt that had and cousins that had abortions, what they don't tell you is that they're suffering after the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these young women have nightmares after the abortion. And then I always wonder, why do they have nightmares after the fact? And it's because they haven't been absolved from their guilt, and only Christ can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they know that guilt, that conscience is there, but I want people to understand it's, well, let me just say with my mom, can I speak on my mother right quick?
Mm-hmm.
I found out that I was conceived from rape when I was 16 years old, and my mom didn't tell me. It came from an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said that
your mom hadn't told you.
No.
But an aunt told you.
An aunt told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my mom, when I found out, I went to my mom, I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And it's the shame that they carry. Like, she felt like it was her fault, and she felt like she was protecting me.
Mm.
And I took it as, you didn't want me to know because you really didn't love me. You really didn't want me. And for the longest, I was pro-choice, just being honest. I feel like the woman had the right. I felt like, well, if you don't want an abortion, have the baby and give the baby up for adoption. Mm. But through my own intimate relationship with Christ, we don't have a choice. It's life. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she struggled. And I don't want anyone to think that this was an easy decision. I never want anyone to feel that, oh, this is easy. You're going to go through life with no scrapes, no bruises, because it's not like that. I had to really meditate and talk with God when I found this out about myself, because I felt like I was a mistake. And when you go through life with people telling you that if you're conceived this way, you are a mistake. Mm. And you go through life believing that. And then you feel like, well, and then you have no idea what pain is when you say that to a child and you hear that all your life. And when I say that God has to reach down and touch a place within your heart, mm-hmm. and bring you out of that darkness and realize that even in that darkness, he loved you in all of that darkness. Mm-hmm. And so when my mom realized how much pain I was in, she opened up more about her experience with my biological father. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that she dealt in with so much hurt and pain. But I've learned that in order for wounds to heal, you have to talk about it, regardless mm-hmm. of how painful it is. And I asked my mother, well, why didn't you just abort me or give me up? And the first thing my mother said was she didn't have that right.
Mm. So she had even as a young girl, she
had an understanding,
a godly understanding of where life comes from.
Mm-hmm. She mm. said that she knew that if it got to the point where she couldn't love me, mm-hmm. she would rather put me with a family who could mm-hmm. than for her to say that I don't deserve to be here.
Right, right. Mm.
And I thank God for her for having the strength and the courage to carry me the 9 months and then loving me and raising me. Because if you see my father, you see me. Because mm-hmm. I look just like him. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, forgiveness is the biggest thing. We can't say that, well, if she's raped, she's going to always carry that. Yes, my mother will always carry that with her. Mm-hmm. But she also carries the love of God with her as mm-hmm. well. That love of God allowed her to love me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want people to understand, that the love of God outweighs any circumstance, any situation.
Mm-hmm. God's grace is so big and so powerful that it's all-consuming, and it can consume the deepest hurt, the biggest wound, the most extreme kind of pain a person is going through. God's grace is able to swallow that
mm-hmm.
and bring good out of the worst of situations. That's how big our God is.
Yes, mm. he is.
Mm. You know, Tanya, our time is, we're coming up on one more break. On the other side of the break, one of the first things I want you to do is I want you to pray for listeners, because there are a lot of people out there who've been through maybe not the same situation, but similar situations or related situations to yours, because we live in a world full of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
People that are hurting, people that are bleeding on the inside, bleeding from the heart in one form or another, who've been through a lot of pain. And yet we serve a God that's able to reach us where no matter how deep the pain is, he's able to reach mm-hmm. us, heal us, forgive us, and make us brand new. That's how big our God is. But every listener needs to come to know our God, our mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, because, again, it's not until you encounter him that mm-hmm. you can begin to experience his healing grace, whatever it might be.
Yes.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Tanya Brooks, and she's sharing a powerful testimony. And we'll pick up on the other side. Thanks for listening.
In case you missed it.
Well, I wear my expressions on my face, so Dainty C would know right off if she say something that I don't like.
Okay.
And it could, you know, on my part, it may not even be intentional.
But what if your husband's face is always serious? I never know.
You got that face. Every husband has that disapproval face.
Yeah, they do. Y'all do.
You know.
That's ridiculous.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Whatever a man may do for a living, Dr. Tony Evans says that all dads are ordained. He talks about the importance of that job description as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Every man here who has a family has been called to pastor. But who are the ones in the Bible studies? Who are the ones listening to learn? Who are the ones reading the text? Who are the ones leading in devotions? It typically isn't the man. He's got the remote. It was inconceivable in the Bible that a man would send his wife and family to church while he stayed home. That was an inconceivable, because he understood his role as pastor, spiritual leader. That his job was to transfer. The reason why we put the outlines of every sermon online is so that you have something to talk about. The reason God gives me a sermon for Sunday is so you can use it for Monday. Not just so you can wait till next week, same time, same station. And it says the men are supposed to do that because you're the shepherd of your house. That's why a man comes to church. He comes to church to find out what God has to say so he can transfer it back to his family around the dinner table.
Learn more about how a godly husband and father attends to the spiritual needs of his family. Check out Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It'll teach you how to follow God's agenda at home, at work, at church, and in society. Get a copy for yourself and order some extras for your church. Details on Kingdom Man are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Music of Norman Hutchins, the song God's Got a Blessing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We have with us in studio Tanya and Artrell Brooks. And Tanya's sharing her powerful testimony and the grace that God has poured into her life as she's able to share where God has brought her from. Now, let me remind every single listener, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And I want to say in the way of encouragement to every single listener, if you're not reading your Bible every day, you do not know what you are missing. There's so much God does in the life of any believer that regularly reads and meditates on the Word of God. And keep this very important point in mind. You know, like sometimes I hear people say, well, I read at least a verse every day. Well, that's better than nothing. But reading one verse is kind of like eating a spoonful of cornflakes. May not get you all the way through the day too well. I encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters a day, because that's a good basic spiritual meal. But now if you want to read more than that, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's word. It only increases the flow of grace into your life. But reading every day pours grace, peace, strength, power, and encouragement into your mind, your heart, your life. You need that. Your brothers and sisters need that. Your dad, mom, your children, everybody needs that. So parents, if you're not helping your kids to do it, today is a good day to start having them to just say, Johnny or Susie or Debbie, come in and read for dad, read for mom, because it'll bless them and it pours light and grace into their life, their mind. Our children need that more than they need the air that they breathe. Help your children read the Word of God every single day. And again, 3 chapters is not too much for any child or adult. So shoot for that. Make that a goal. Now, as we start off in this last segment, Tanya, I'm going to ask if you'll start off by taking time to pray for our listeners. You know, you've shared a number of very powerful things in your testimony.
Okay.
And my guess is there are probably a lot of listeners who are in tears now because you've touched on areas of hurt in their life. And some of them need to be saved, need to come to know Jesus. Some of them may just need healing and wholeness, may need to talk to someone who can reach out to them. Would you just, whatever's on your heart, pray for those individuals at this time, please?
Okay. And I want people to know that, you know, the pain that you may be feeling right now, that it will not compare to the joy that's to come. And when that song, like, you know, pain endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning, and that is such a true statement. But I want all of the bow heads, our gracious Father, we come to you, this day, giving praise and thanks and glory in your name, Lord. Lord, we come to you this day thanking you for your grace and your mercy. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for loving us in spite of who we are, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for those who are broken right now, Lord Jesus. I pray for those who are hurt right now, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, I pray for those who are in the crossroads of choosing right from wrong right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray and ask that you touch them right now, Father God. Father God, you are a healer right now, Lord Jesus. Heal what's broken, Father God. Lord, we cry out to you right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, touch those who need you right now, Lord Jesus. Those who are in darkness, Lord, right, Jesus. Lord, we pray for the churches who are supposed to be salt and light to this earth right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that they may stand on your word and choose what is right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray right now, Father God, that you just continue to order our step and guide us, Lord Jesus, and not let this journey be about us, Lord Jesus, but the uplifting of your holy name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for all those who right now who are lost, Father God. Lord, we pray that they may come into the revelation of your truth, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray right now that you touch right now, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone who's listening right now, Lord Jesus, Lord, you know who they are right now, Lord. For we do not know their need nor their want. But we pray to you. We pray to you, Lord Jesus. Touch them right now, Father God. And these are the prayers we say in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I too thank you. Thank you for Tanya sharing her testimony. And thank you for every life that has been touched today as she shared it. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon every listener to more and more want to reach out to you in view of the fact that you're a God that can heal any wound, any hurt, any pain a person's feeling. Help us to know, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You're that. You're El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. More and more move upon every listener who want to reach out to you and also to be a vessel through which you can reach and touch others, pointing them to you as well. Help us every day to be faithful witnesses, pointing the world to a Heavenly Father that's able to heal all the hurts, all the pain, all the difficulties that we go through in this lifetime. Yes. Thank you for being the good and the great shepherd who can heal and restore all of us. Forgive us and make us brand new. In Jesus' name you pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Tanya, in our last few minutes, you shared some about your mom. And, you know, one of the things that I pick up powerfully as you share your story is that God's poured a lot of grace into your family situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your mom showed extreme courage in just really choosing, obviously, to keep you, because there are so many that would have decided that under the circumstances, they had plenty right to take your life. Now, would you share a little bit more about your mom and your relationship with your mom, too?
Well, where do I start? My mom,
it's not easy for her. With time, it has become easier, mm-hmm. Because of the grace of God. My mom said that I can share these stories with her, with you guys. Mm-hmm. My mom grew up where it was molestation. When she was a young girl, she was molested as well. Mm-hmm. And I used to hear my mom say that it's bad when you're in a family of men, and the men that's supposed to protect you are the men that's violating you. Mm-hmm. So I've never experienced that part of life where she... And I know a lot of people out there listening feel like certain things shouldn't be said, but I want people to understand that there is an epidemic in our community, our family, within our culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us feel, and I've heard my older people, elderly, say, well, it's what's done, leave it in the house. Mm-hmm. But when the violation is taking place within the homes, you feel like a prisoner within your own home.
And Tanya, let me jump in and say this. It's important for us to understand, as Christians, period, rape is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it should, you know, a person should go to jail for that crime. Mm-hmm. It should not be excused as, oh, this is what some people know. It's a crime.
It is.
And we need to see it that way.
Yeah. And my mom dealt with a lot of hurt and pain over the years because what happened to her, the violators, they weren't held accountable for their sins, I would say it that way. So, like I was speaking earlier, when you go to a family function and the same people that has violated you, you have to see those people daily. Mm-hmm. And you act like nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. And then that makes your soul weary. Like you become, I would say that it pushes you farther away from Christ in her case. And there's something wrong when you're on this earth and you feel like God doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. Or you feel like you're battling this by yourself. So through my mom's own work with intimate relationship with God, she is who she is now. Mm-hmm. It's hard to speak for her because she can tell her story.
Right.
But I can say through the grace of God that I look at her as my hero. Because at a time where you don't have kids out of wedlock, especially in this situation, if you have the baby, give the baby up. But she kept me and she loved me. And I can say that without a doubt that if someone says, well, your mom can't love you the same way she loves your other brothers and sisters, I can say that that's not true, too. Because she loves me, and through her actions, through her words, just through her being my mom, she shows it each and every day.
And you know, Tanya, I'm going to jump in here real quick and share something else too. You mentioned that you look just like your dad.
I look just like my dad.
And that's something that I know, like in a case where rape has taken place, sometimes that has been so hard for the mom to see in the child the face of the one who violated her, which would make it seem all the harder. Yet your mom bore you, and she kept you as well.
And she speaks on that. Like I ask her, do you see my father in me? Because if I can see my father within me, I know my mother can as well.
Yeah.
And I think what she's told me is I look past who he is. You're not him. And I and laugh at that.
That's the grace of God.
It
that's
is.
That's the grace of God.
And I'm not saying that it was easy for my mom, but I think because of the grace of God, she was able to. Mm. And I find my mom looking at me now, and I ask her, why are you staring at me? And she's like, I said, you thinking about him? She's like, no, I'm just thinking like what God has blessed me with.
Praise God. Praise
you know,
God. That's powerful. That's
it is. And it was powerful to me, like, stop staring at me. But you know, they say it's nothing like a mother's love. And through the grace of God, I have experienced that. Mm. And I want those who are thinking about this, allow your child to know your love.
That's right.
Allow your child to get to know you, your love. But if you don't allow that, don't start the abandonment process within the womb. Mm. And a lot of people don't understand, you have now started the abandonment process within the womb.
Through abortion.
Through abortion, yes.
It's the beginning of the amendment.
Yes.
Mm.
Like,
that's
I don't
care. That's a powerful thought.
It is. Mm. And you're going to always think of that child. I don't, you can say you don't, but if you have the breath of God within you, you mm-hmm. will, because that was life. And I tell people, give that child a chance. Mm-hmm. You don't know who that child could be to you or be to someone else. Mm-hmm. You don't have that right to take that life.
That's right. And, you know, just a whole other story really is the story of forgiveness, both on your mom's part and mm-hmm. on your part mm-hmm. towards your dad as
yes.
well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've talked to my father's side of the family and my father as well. Mm-hmm. And I told my father that I forgave him. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to do. But forgiveness wasn't for him, it was for me as well. And it doesn't mm-hmm. neglect the fact that he's still my father. Mm-hmm. His action, the sin in what he did was wrong.
That's right.
But he's still my father. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you I have a relationship with him? No, I don't have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But I pray for him daily. Mm-hmm. I have to. And when you say that you are born again, you have the love regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. Mm-hmm. And I had to forgive my father. He couldn't explain why he did what he did. He just knew what he did was wrong.
Right.
And he never said that it wasn't wrong or it didn't happen. He just said it happened. Mm-hmm. And he can't be sorry enough for why it happened. And I told him that what you did it just didn't stop with you. It trickled through generations, because now I have children. Mm-hmm. Who would never meet a grandfather because of your actions. Mm-hmm. But they know that I have a father. And mm-hmm. I'm honest with my children. I tell them what happened and why they can't see their grandfather. Mm-hmm. But
who is in prison.
He's in prison now. Mm-hmm. But I don't want anyone to get discouraged and say, well, that's why you should have an abortion, because when you have children and grandchildren, but through the grace of God, I have an amazing husband. And when our children have children, they will have a grandfather.
That's
so
right.
You can't look at one situation and mm-hmm. judge your whole life from that one situation.
That's
so I thank God that I'm here today. Mm-hmm. I thank God that my mom did not abort me. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, you know, really think about what you're doing.
Well, Tanya, let me just say our time is gone here, but this is just part one, okay? Because we definitely need to have you all back and share further, because there's so much more to your story. So thank you so much for coming and sharing today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We appreciate you tuning in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.